Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
You feed us with your body and blood. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. Receive our prayer. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in the glory of God the Father. Glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Let us pray. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in your unbounded mercy, you have revealed the beauty of your power through your constant forgiveness of our sins. May the power of this love be on our hearts to bring your pardon and your kingdom to all we meet. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
A reading from the book of the prophet Amos. Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, woe to the complacent in Zion, lying upon beds of ivory, stretched comfortably on their couches. They eat lambs taken from the flock and calves from the stall, improvising to the music of the harp, like David. They devise their own accompaniment. They drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the best oils. Yet they are not made ill by the collapse of Joseph. Therefore, now they shall be the first to go into exile, and their wanton revelry shall be done away with. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Alleluia, alleluia. I will praise the Lord all my days. Alleluia, alleluia. I will praise the Lord all my days. It is God who keeps faith forever, who is just to those oppressed. It is God who gives food to the hungry and sets the captive free. Alleluia, alleluia. I will praise the Lord all my days. It is God who gives new vision and who raises those bowed down. All whose hearts are just, God will cherish. The stranger is in God's care. Alleluia, alleluia. I will praise the Lord all my days. God upholds the widow and orphan, but spoils the plans of the proud. God's reign will last through all time, Zion's God from age to age. Alleluia, alleluia. I will praise the Lord all my days.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy. But you, man of God, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Compete well for the faith. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were called when you were made the noble confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you before God, who gives life to all things, and before Jesus Christ, who gave testimony under Pontius Pilate for the noble confession, to keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the blessed and only ruler will make manifest at the proper time the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, and whom no human being has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia. Christ was rich, he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. And from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, "Father, Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames." Abraham replied, "My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours." He said, "Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he might warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment." But Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." He said, "Oh no, Father Abraham. But if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." Then Abraham said, "If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. There are two major characters in today's gospel, of course. The rich man, called Dives in some translations of the Bible, and the poor man, whose name is Lazarus. Dives apparently has all that money can buy. His is a life of comfort, and in the gospel story, he is dressed in rich purple garments and linen and has all that he wants to eat, dining sumptuously each day, without apparently a care in the world. Lazarus, on the other hand, is a beggar. Not just a beggar, but the poorest of beggars, who is covered with sores that dogs come to lick. He has no food and would gladly eat the scraps that would fall from the rich man's table, except the rich man doesn't give him any scraps. Dives is totally insensitive to Lazarus's needs and resembles the wealthy citizens of the northern kingdom of Israel who were criticized by the prophet Amos in today's first reading. "Woe to those who are complacent," Amos warns, "to those who lay on their ivory beds, eating the best lambs and calves, drinking wine from bowls, anointing themselves with the best oils, and listening to the music of the harp, all the while ignoring the plight of the poor among them." Woe to those who cannot see Lazarus or those like him in their lives, to those who are so interested in and accustomed to their own comfort that they fail to see those who have so little in this life. Woe perhaps to us if we have failed to see the needy among us and have become complacent with the relative comfort of our own lives. Because we live in Dearborn Heights and in other nearby communities here in the United States, most of us can live our entire lives without really encountering a Lazarus who lives among us. So it is somewhat easy to become complacent, to become almost comfortable with the reality that we have money while others don't. Are we ever really affected by the reality of how the rest of the world lives? Do we care that more than 1 billion human beings live in poverty around the world? According to one internet site, the per capita income, that is the per person annual income, in the United States currently stands at $37,500. Average family income, of course, is higher, topping $50,000 in Dearborn Heights in 2008. That far exceeds the per capita income in a country like Pakistan, for example, which records an annual per person income of only $370. Consider what is currently happening to the people of Pakistan, which has been wracked by floods since the middle of August. 6 weeks after the flooding began, the floods have left millions of people without shelter, and in some areas, the water is still rising. The water has covered many trees and buildings and has left countless Pakistanis homeless. Think about what it would mean if you had no home to go to when you left here today. Where would you find food? Where would you eat your dinner? Where would you and your family sleep tonight? Many Pakistanis are living on rooftops, hoping that the water will recede and enable them to salvage some of their possessions. Some have taken their possessions with them. Imagine being able to transport everything you own, balanced on a 6-foot makeshift raft, floating in the Pakistani floodwaters. Imagine too having to line up, sometimes for hours, just to get enough food to keep your family alive for another day. But poverty does not exist only in Pakistan and other foreign countries. The federal poverty level for a family of four in this country is just over $22,000. Earlier this month, a government report indicated that 1 in 7 families in the United States is currently living in poverty. It's pretty clear that poverty is an issue in this country as well. And we don't have to look far to encounter the problem of homelessness in these United States. We have had homeless people come to our door at St. Linus, and it's never a pretty picture. There was always a shortage of money, and the only answer, which is no real answer at all, is to arrange for them to spend the night in a shelter, sometimes with their children. And even when they find safe haven in a shelter, they awake the next morning to the frightening reality of having to find food and shelter for another day. We try to do what we can through Christian service here at St. Linus. Through the parish's St. Vincent de Paul Society, 10 families were assisted in July and August. 2 of the families received rental assistance. 2 other families received help with their utilities. Others received Kroger or Meijer gift cards or referrals to a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store for clothing, mattresses, and furniture. In fact, during the period from May through September, more than $2,500 was dispensed to families in financial need. Our food committee also contributed to the effort. 45 boxes of food were prepared and distributed this summer to those in need in the community. In June, St. Linus prepared and served lunch for about 80 people at St. Patrick's Seniors Center in Detroit. In July, we prepared and served lunch for about 150 people at St. Leo's Food Kitchen, also in Detroit. We are now gearing up for fall and winter activities that will include Thanksgiving dinners for the homeless at Manor House in November and the preparation and distribution of 125 boxes of food to those in need at Christmas. So what does all this mean to each one of us if we are seeking to follow Christ in our lives? Most of us are not likely to jump on a plane to distribute food in Pakistan or Haiti, but there are some things we can do. It's easy to become insensitive to the plight of others when we are assaulted so frequently with images of the poor and suffering all over the world. It's good to donate money to help those in need whenever we can. But even when that's not possible, we should try always to remain sensitive to the plight of others and to offer prayers on their behalf. Locally, we can and should participate in charitable activities in the Archdiocese and here at St. Linus. Just yesterday, St. Vincent de Paul representatives from this parish took part in a fundraising walk to benefit our Christian service efforts. If you haven't yet contributed, there is still time, and your donations would be welcome to supplement the funds we will use to help people with clothing, furniture, rent, and utilities. You can also contribute to the St. Linus Food Committee. We have all received envelopes for that purpose, and they will be collected in masses next week. Do what you can to help us prepare for the winter months. Finally, if you are able, volunteer. Lend a hand to help out. Willing hands are always appreciated. Today's lesson is this. Let us carefully consider the parable about Lazarus and the rich man and take its message to heart. Remember that after death, it was Lazarus who was comforted in the next life, but it was the rich man who would suffer torment for his failure to respond to the gospel message of love. Let us recognize the poor among us, and let us do what we can to relieve their suffering. And if we do, perhaps someday we will share the joy of Lazarus and all those who suffer now, but who will rest comfortably for eternity in the bosom of Abraham.